Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be able to get in your word, to study it, to have you speak to us through the Holy Spirit, Lord. And God, I just pray as believers, born again believers, that you would strengthen our walk with you, Lord. It just seems like there are so many things in our world today that can just get in the way and drag us down. And of course, Satan uses those things to get us depressed or oppressed, whatever the case might be. And I just pray tonight that you would bless this teaching, and God, that you would speak to us, because we are your children and you are our Heavenly Father. So Lord, we just love you and we thank you. Anoint your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to take this out of Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, and I titled it, Holding True to Who We Are in Jesus Christ. And I'm referencing chapter 16, part 1 of Patrick's lesson. So let's get on it. Robert Stevenson, peering out the window, saw a workman come by and light the gas lights along the street. When asked what he was watching, the lad said, I see a man making holes in the darkness. I love that, the light. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, he said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So for us as born-again believers, we change our world by faithfully proclaiming the gospel. It actually changes lives from the inside out. It's called regeneration. But there's a balance that we need. We can't get so carried away in trying to make others conform to our standards, which are biblical standards, they should be, that we end up making them our enemies of whom God has called us to win to Him. So if we are living right, people are watching us. Well, the lost are watching us, and they will come to believe the message of the gospel. But if we claim to be saved from sin, but we're still living sinful lives, well, guess what? Our teaching and our preaching is going to be in vain. So what I want to do, I want to look at four areas here in Titus. The first one is be ready for every good work. Paul, writing to his other son in the faith, Timothy being his first son in the faith, Titus the second, he says in verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Seven things we're to do as believers about our attitudes and the motives that characterize our lives among non-believers. First, we're to be subject to rulers and authorities. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that, especially when you see how corrupt things are. The Jewish leaders, they tried to trick Jesus. They tried to trick him either into heresy or treason. In Matthew 22, verses 15 to 17, it says, then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you are true, and you teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Well, now they knew if Jesus said yes, he would be looked down on by the Jewish people who, man, they really hated living under Rome's high taxes. If he said no, he would have been arrested for treason against Rome. So in a sense, it's almost like a catch-22. In verse 18 to 21, it says, "But Jesus perceived their wickedness. He said to them, 'Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money.' So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, 'Whose image and inscription is this?' And they said to him, 'Caesar's.' And he said to them, 'Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.'" I love it. I love it reading the Lord's words. Jesus wasn't saying the tax was fair or even that it would be used in good ways. But because Caesar claimed to be a god, the Jews looked at his image on the coin as a form of idolatry. Nevertheless, Jesus told them, "Pay your taxes." People don't want to hear that too. Well, here's the point. We're to respect and obey the government because it's the God-ordained means by which our society is run. Secondly, we're to be obedient to the authorities. Now, there's only one exception to that. That is if they tell us to do something that is unbiblical or immoral. Outside of that, we have to be obedient to them. Third, we're to be ready for every good work. I mean, it's being sincere and wanting to serve others, no matter how bad or sinful or really even mean that they might be. Paul wrote about that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Fourth, we're to speak evil of no one, not even of those who do their best to come against God and His Word. That one's a tough one, because I make a stand when they come against God or the Bible. Paul again spoke of that in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4. Fifth, we're to be peaceable. Well, that's being friendly towards those who are lost, instead of arguing and fighting with them, which many times we do and shouldn't do. Romans 12, verse 18. Sixth, we're to be gentle, being careful in the treatment of others. We have to be careful. Seventh, we're to show humility to all men. So our attitude towards unbelievers should always be that of consideration, of meekness, and of gentleness. 1 Peter 3:15. It's the only way we're going to win them to Christ. If we come down their throat, all they're going to do is turn from us. We're just going to push them away. The second area, remember your past lifestyle. Verse 3, Paul said, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Well, let's look at this. We ourselves were also once foolish. What's that speaking of? It's speaking of a complete lack of understanding. It's total ignorance in regard to a certain area of knowledge. Total ignorance. We were once disobedient. Now, even though our laws and powers are ordained by God to help restrain and punish evil and really maintain a certain amount of order and safety, they have no power to change the heart from where these things come. We were once deceived. The idea is of purposely being led astray. We once served various lusts and pleasures. Even though the natural man willfully chooses to sin, he does it because his very nature is sinful. He doesn't have the desire or really even the ability to be anything but sinful because he's a slave to sin. We once lived in malice. Malice means evil. It's speaking of the natural man spending his life doing evil. We once lived in envy. It's a sin that has its own reward. It guarantees You will be frustrated and you will be continually disappointed. That's what envy does. We were once hateful. You know, hatred will blind a person to God's truth. It'll blind them to God's standards. It'll blind them to God's will. And it'll blind them to anything that has to do with what is spiritual. The third area, remember God's grace and God's mercy to save us. We have a lot to be thankful for. In verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Remembering our salvation, that should motivate us to keep in mind the only reason that we are different now is because God saved us. It's because he saved us. We are saved by the kindness of God our Savior, Luke 6, verse 35. We were saved by God's love for mankind, John 3, verses 16 and 17. We weren't saved by anything that we have done, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. We were saved through the washing of regeneration. Again, that speaks of receiving new life. It's speaking of being born again, being born from above, John chapter 3, verse 5. Our salvation came through the renewing of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 2. So it happened the moment we gave our lives to God and asked for forgiveness of our sins. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to indwell in us, and he will be with us for all eternity. He'll never leave us. Think about that. When we got saved, we were given the Holy Spirit, and it will never, ever, ever lead us. That third person of the Trinity is going to be in us for all eternity. I love it. We were saved by God's grace, so we don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve to have our sins removed. We don't deserve to have Christ's own righteousness imputed to us. We don't deserve to be given heaven. We don't deserve to be justified. We don't deserve to be sanctified. We don't deserve to one day be glorified in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this is our blessed hope. This is what we're looking forward to. The fourth and last area, we're to be careful to maintain good works. Verse 8, Paul said, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to all men. Well, here's the bottom line. It comes down to being a real, genuine Christian. One who has been saved by God's grace. One who takes God at his word. We stand on God's word. God's word is the final authority. There's nothing else that we can stand on outside of his word. So when we stand on God's word, you know what we're doing? We are demonstrating God's power to transform our lives. Those around us will be drawn to him for salvation. That's why we need to try every moment of our life to live for Jesus Christ and let them see him inside of us. A pious church member who thought himself to be a great Christian, he visited the junior department of the Sunday school. The superintendent asked him to say a few words to the boys and girls. He stood pompously before them, and he asked, "Why do you think people call me a Christian?" There was an embarrassing silence. Then a small voice from the back of the room said, Because they don't know you? In other words, he's not living this thing out. Oh, amazing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just the thought of holding true to who we are in you, Lord God. We're your sons, we're your daughters. Father, use us mightily for your kingdom in these days that we're living in, so people can see the glorious light of the gospel living through our lives. God, we pray you go before us now, and that you would bless the rest of our day. In Jesus' name, amen.